Ever since Disney has bought Star Wars and Marvel, there have been questions from the fan community. What exactly is an Inhuman? How is it different than a mutant? What's the expanded universe? What language do Wookiees speak? Are Storm and Black Panther still married? The answer to all these questions and much more on WDWNT On The Air's new show, Nerd Alert, with your host, Joe Hogarty.
Welcome to episode 10 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm Joe Hogarty, and joining me are Patrick Hackett.
Yo.
And Ron Deanna.
Aloha.
And how have you guys been?
Really good. Really good. Just got back from L.A. and Disneyland and D23.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a lot about that. Ron's going to give us his opinions on what he saw out there, especially with Marvel and Star Wars. And what about you, Patrick?
I was not in California nor at D23, but I'm still doing well. Joe, you doing good?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yep.
So let's get this rolling, and let's kind of start with some news that recently came out. I want to talk about some Marvel news. This week, Captain America Civil War wrapped up principal photography. And so the only thing that's left now are the special effects, creating the soundtrack, the editing, and maybe some reshoots. And we've seen that Tom Holland has apparently been spotted on the set. We're hoping he's going to be doing some nice action scenes as Spider-Man. Also, we've seen Chadwick Boseman's stunt double. And the costume for Black Panther. Anything else, guys, that you've noticed of that you've heard of notice or?
Yeah, we today I think it came out or yesterday that Marissa Tomei was filming scenes as well as Aunt May.
Aunt May's hot.
Well, she is this time.
A MILF?
Oh, she's a non. She's an elf.
It's kind of funny, though. I mean, I think that this movie is just not going to be enough to pour into a 2 to 3 hour movie, and I can't believe that they found a scene for Aunt May in this.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't even think of it that way. That's very interesting. I'm shocked that we haven't had an accurate leak of the Spider-Man costume yet.
Yeah, I think we're going to see multiple ones. I mean, nothing at D23 pointed to anything for that. I didn't see anything about Spider-Man in it. But I think kind of what I was reading is that the it might be the end cap with Marissa Tomei and Peter. Like, I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, you mean like the post-credit scene?
Post-credit?
Yeah.
No, that makes more sense.
Black Panther looks fantastic. I mean, they really, really nailed that costume. They have that spot on.
The only thing they're missing is the cape.
I don't know, man. Didn't you pay attention with Syndrome?
Yeah, but I was reading that they probably will CGI his cape like they did for Superman and Man of Steel, and they even do it for Batman now.
He doesn't always have a cape, though, does he?
No, but he looks pretty cool in a cape.
It's purely aesthetic for Joe.
Yeah, gotta make him look nice. And now you guys, like, before you went out to D23, there was some kind of news that they kind of had the teams for who's going to represent Team Captain America and Team Iron Man. Heroic Hollywood apparently got the scoop on this. You know, it was rumored, and a lot of people had issues with it because it would, for Captain America, it would be Captain America, Hawkeye, Falcon, Scarlet Witch, Ant-Man, and the Winter Soldier, or Bucky. And for Iron Man, it would be Iron Man, the Vision, Spider-Man, Black Widow, and War Machine. Now, Ron, you can confirm this. Is Black Widow on Team Iron Man?
Honestly, it was such a blur. I know she's on a different side than Hawkeye. That's all I really remember from it. I think she was... It wasn't as definitive in the trailer. There was one real thing. It's like, Cap is... You know, he's got everybody together, and someone's like, what do we do? well, we fight, and it shows, I think it was most of the, that was Team Cap running towards everybody, and there was definitely a scene where Black Widow was fighting Renner. So, that yeah, much that, I remember.
That awesome, there was two awesome quotes that I remember from the trailer that everybody was talking about. And it was an exchange between Black Widow and Hawkeye. Are we still going to be friends after this? Well, that depends on how hard you hit me. So I was kind of excited for that.
Yeah, the we'll get into the trailer, what I remember of it, because it was one of the first things that came up, and then
okay. We
just kept getting stuff thrown at us after that, and we weren't allowed to tweet or have our phones out or anything like that, so I really didn't have a great being able to, you know, keep a record of anything.
Yeah, another rumor that came out, too, was that in Civil War, they're talking about that Captain America will end up fighting Spider-Man in a big scene. And I was kind of surprised with that because, I mean, I know if he's on Team Iron Man, but I had a feeling that from the comics that at some point he would fight Iron Man, too.
Oh, I mean, the trailer didn't get into too much of what's going on. It seems more of a, seems less about people's identities and more of just that these superheroes are kind of acting on their own outside the law kind of issue than well, like a registration act.
All right, what we'll do is we're going to mention one last news thing so we can go right into D23 and you can talk about the Civil War trailer a little more in depth. The one thing that we were talking right before we started recording is that there was some Star Wars news that came out that Kylo Ren is actually a part of a sect called the Knights of Ren, and he's not a Sith, according to J.J. Abrams. I didn't read too much up on this because for some reason this week I was trying to avoid spoilers with The Force Awakens, but next week it'll be a different story. You guys talk about it. Let me know, what are your opinion on this?
So what I read was, it goes into a little bit of the history of, I mean, who the First Order is and who the Knights of Ren are. And the First Order, I think it was decided that, what if all the Nazis who fled to Argentina reformed? And that's kind of what the First Order is going to be. It's the remnants of the Empire, as they fled, got back together and formed this. And then there is Andy Serkis. Circus's CG character is going to be kind of the head of that, who is in charge of Kylo Ren, who's part of the Knights of Ren, who kind of worship the Sith Lords. They kind of are wannabe Sith.
And that's why his mask is almost an homage to Vader.
And I did read a little bit about it, now that I think about it. Didn't they say, too, that Darth Vader might look like a martyr to them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, because, again, like, when we left Jedi, it looked like, I mean, he did turn, but who knows that, other than Luke, and I guess some of the Rebels.
And I'm sure the Empire, or what's left of it, can spin that.
And once again, from what we know in the from what we know from Rebels and other stuff, Vader isn't this well-known presence. Vader is a boogeyman that only, you know, the people involved in the war seem to know.
Well, what could resolve that is if we got Ghost Hayden Christensen to come back and say, hey, look, guys.
Bite your tongue.
I'm not a martyr. I'm a good guy now.
I'm not an actor.
But I play one on TV. All right, so let's get right into the main topic. Like Patrick said, we were basically at home while Ron was enjoying D23 live, and he went to a lot of conferences, especially you went to the Marvel and you went to the Star Wars one. I guess the films for Disney and I guess what else they have. Yeah, why don't you get right into it and tell us, like, what was your opinion of D23 and I guess start off with the movies first, and then we'll get into the other stuff.
I was going to say, the first panel I went to that had anything Star Wars related was the Legends panel.
Okay.
That was the first panel in the morning. you know, we first showed up around, you were supposed to be able to line up and get in around 10 o'clock. Now, we were just finishing dinner, so we walked by to see how bad the line was. We saw about maybe 1,000 people. We're like, okay, the auditorium holds 8,000. We're not lining up at 10 p.m. tonight. So we go back, get some sleep, come in around 4 a.m. There's not too many people in line for the Legends panel. Most of them are in line for shopping. So we're a couple hundred people in. And we go through the whole thing, and there's a lot of good Disney legends. Not too many relevant to here, but the big one was George Lucas. And he comes on stage, he's welcomed. You know, 3PO and R2 were on stage, no voice work or anything for that. Mm-hmm. But the big thing with that was him talking about that he based Jar Jar Binks on Goofy.
How dare he?
And he actually, like, turned to Iger and was like, you're probably going to get some flack for this, but... And he said... Then he said, you know, I based Jar Jar on Goofy, and he's still one of my favorite characters. And...
Jar Jar or Goofy?
Jar Jar. He's still very unapologetic about Jar Jar.
Yeah. Didn't he say, yeah, he still loves Jar Jar, which is kind of sad. But, yeah, now he's tainted Goofy.
Yeah, seriously. How dare you sully Goofy's good name?
Iger didn't respond to that much. I mean, that was the basics of that. The cool part of at that panel was actually the surprise legend that came out at the very end was Johnny Depp. They just kind of, you know, oh, wait, we have one more. And they bring out Depp, who looked kind of confused, like they just woke him up out of a drunken stupor and dragged him on stage.
That's just what he looks like.
Yeah.
And he was dressed as Captain Jack, right?
No, not for that one.
Oh, okay.
So later,
but yeah, that's just what he looks like.
Yeah. So later that day, the only thing I did, I did go to this Disney Infinity. The next thing was the animation panel, which there wasn't really anything Star Wars related there. Lots of cool stuff coming from animation. You know, Finding Dory, the Gigantic was announced. There's definitely a good slate of movies coming. I will say Good Dinosaur really looks good from the extended scenes we saw.
Oh, that's cool.
Randy Newman did a surprise performance of...
You Got a Friend in Me?
Yeah, You Got a Friend in Me. I was going to say Friend Like Me, but that's the wrong one. and, like, Green Army Men drop from the ceiling, and then they start shooting T-shirts into the crowd. It was a really surreal kind of end to a panel. Now, and
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And then after that, I went over to the Disney Infinity booth where you could take, you basically lined up and got in line and took a picture green screen into a Disney Infinity scene, and they gave you a figure. So some of the ones
what?
That they were giving. Yeah.
Of yourself?
No.
Oh.
It was a 3.0 figure?
Yeah, so they had. The ones that available you could get were Vader, Chewie, Maul, Sam from Tron, Sadness, one of the other emotions. There were seven of them all together. So.
And I'm guessing you got Vader.
I got Vader. You could keep lining up. It just was like a 45-minute to an hour line every time.
Oh.
So I ended up with. I ended up with five figures out of that.
45 minutes?
No. You got one for when you attended the Disney Infinity panel, you got the Mickey figure and the exclusive Kingdom Hearts disc of turns Mickey into King Mickey.
Okay.
Which by the time we checked from, you know, an hour later on eBay, it was going for about $300. Much to Scott Smith's chagrin. Yeah. You got an Olaf figure if you proved you had a Disney Infinity pre-order in. So all you had to do was show like your Amazon receipt or your GameStop like pre-order receipt, and they gave you an Olaf figure. And then I won one for doing a Yoda impression at a Disney Infinity meetup.
And so obviously, since your Yoda impression's so good, award-winning Yoda impression. You're going to do it for our fans here on Nerd Alert, right?
Judge me by my toy box, do you?
I love you, Rod.
And then I did the line twice, basically. So I got Chewie for the voice, I got Vader and Sadness for going through the line.
Sweet. It's got a pretty big bag there, Ron.
Yeah, it's it'll be a help when those figures all come out this weekend. It's going to cost an arm and a leg. That was it for the Star Wars stuff on the first day. I really didn't look around the floor too much. Having been up since 4 a.m. and the panel's ending about 4 p.m.
Did you get to play Battlefront?
I saw Battlefront. I did not play it. It looked beautiful, everything we saw. The line for that was a little long, too, so I wasn't going to hop in line for just to play a game. The other one they had a line for, there was a big Disney Interactive thing, and it was Infinity was at one section, Battlefront was there. And have you guys seen the Star Wars Battle Pod arcade game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had the new home, in quotes, I'll put it, edition, that has leather seats, hydraulics, like cup holders. It was this whole ridiculous thing.
What was that, like a 100?
This is during the Disney Interactive panel on Sunday. They were talking about this, and they're like, and you can buy this for your home. They don't give a price. Because later on, we found out it's $100,000.
That's what I was going to say. Is it about 100 grand? Damn.
The normal one you buy in that you see in an arcade is 35. So the hydraulic actuators that move the seat and all that, and the leather seats and everything else they added. Oh, yeah, they customize and put you in the game when you order one. For 100 grand, they better.
Get like a producer credit for that.
I think you actually do.
That's fantastic.
Have either of you played the game?
No.
Yeah,
I found it at Dave and Buster's a few weeks ago. It's a really cool flight sim because it's got a rounded screen, kind of like Soarin', that goes around you.
It seems like it's almost like virtual reality, right?
Yeah, it's really good, except it could be really disorienting after one or two rounds. Because I played three or four rounds. I played both Death Star battles, Yavin and Endor, Hoth. I lost Hoth, but I beat the other two, and I think I just got out because I was too dizzy after the third one.
Well, that's pretty good for your first time.
They're not incredibly hard. They get hard, like, they get harder as you go, and then, you know, as you go through the series, but they're not incredibly long. It's just, you have a limited amount of movements, but you're still kind of on a track shooter. So, like, you could, you know, move the screen around enough to target, but it's still going to move your ship in the direction you want to, where it wants you to go. So it just gets a little disorienting having the screen all around you.
Yeah, I got to go check out my local Dave and Buster's to check that out. That does sound pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a really, really fun game.
Do you remember, what is it? Is it like $2 to play, or?
I don't remember. I was there, my wife's company was having some sort of party, and they bought them unlimited cards
for
a couple hours. So I just used that.
That's really cool.
So yeah, that was what was on the floor. There was some Star Wars merchandise. They had some really cool. They had a whole, you know, like Legion of Stormtroopers set up. They had some variant figures, like a samurai, designed stormtrooper. Which I have a picture of, but not handy to post or anything. And they had a bunch of other variant figures. There's some really cool stuff for that. I'm trying to think of any. The Disney store had a series of die-cast Black Series Star Wars figures. I think there was 7 or 8 in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
The box was selling for $200. There was a limited edition of like $500. So they were selling out every day. They put a certain amount out every day.
Yeah.
But the thing weighed like 20 pounds as the box, because these were like 6 to 8 inch die-cast figures, and they were just gorgeous. I really wanted to get it because, like, I've never seen a General Grievous figure look this cool.
Seem possible.
No, a die-cast figure looked amazingly cool.
Yeah.
See, there was, what are any other Star Wars merch? They had a bunch of Force Awakens t-shirts, just basically the First Order helmet. And then they had a couple, like, paisley or camouflage or Day of the Dead painted Vader t-shirts. The Ewok Princess, we got the limited edition stuffed animal for. There was a limited edition D23 R2 unit figure we got.
What's this Ewok Princess thing? I mean, they didn't have any female Ewoks in Return of the Jedi.
I don't remember the Ewok movies well enough to say if she's in there, but they had three, like, overall I saw three Ewoks. I saw the Princess, I saw Wicket, and I saw, what's the dark brown one's name?
Brownie? I don't know.
I do not believe that's correct.
But there were three, like, you know, 10-inch stuffed Ewoks I saw between D23 and Disneyland. That's I think it for Star Wars on the Void. There was a Force for Change thing, which I think was just, you know, them trying to, you know, community service stuff.
The dark brown Ewok is Tokat.
Okay.
There you go.
They had a Jedi Training Academy thing occasionally popping up on the main, on the, like, floor stage. Yeah, most of the exhibits, there was nothing. I know there was some Rebel stuff at the TV animation panel, which I didn't get to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it was too much.
Yeah, it'll be coming out soon enough anyway.
So that was the first day of me just on the floor. And then,
wow, that's a day.
Yeah, I mean, is this your first D23?
Yeah, I've obviously done some major cons before.
Yeah.
But I will say there's all cons are chaotic and hectic with, you know, the way they're organized. It's just impossible to maneuver that many people around. Disney did a really cool thing with, they did not let anybody camp out outside. They had a specific hall where you could stay and wait, and they opened it at 10 o'clock the night before each thing. And they put you in line for what? Are you in line for this panel? Are you in line for the floor? Are you in line for shopping? And they designated where you went. So you weren't waiting outside. You were waiting in a very well air-conditioned room.
That's nice.
Concrete floor.
That's
because
nice.
The first night I went back, took a quick nap, and got back in line at 10 p.m., probably about 1,000 people back, I'd say, already for the next panel. Because we, you know, the Star Wars live-action movie panel was supposed to be the big panel of the event. And so we just wanted to make sure we got good seats for it. So when we got in, we were told we were about 700th in line. We had nothing to sleep on. Just slept on the concrete floor for a few hours, wandering around. And you know what? If you got there before 7 a.m., you probably would have gotten in anyway. But we ended up about 10 rows back, right in the stage center from where we were. So it was kind of worth it for that. And that day they opened up with Marvel. And the first thing they showed us was, they talked about Doctor Strange a bit. And they showed us, there was no footage, nothing like that. No Benedict. I think they had him on a video feed talking about
it. They did have
it.
Him on a video feed, yeah.
I'm trying to remember who was on video feed. They had him briefly talk about it. Then they showed a lot of concept art. And the concept art looks dead on. It definitely will take place in between the mythical world, the real world, and it starts being over. Like, you see cars flying in the sky because of something going on. It really, really looks like they nailed the feel of everything I know about Doctor Strange comics.
Did they have any concept art of Doctor Strange himself?
Oh, yeah. The costume, full
the
cape.
The costume's dead on.
Yeah, it's not playing games with this one at all.
I still haven't seen it. So it's out there on the web? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll take a look for it.
And just to throw, I was at my local comic book store today picking up the stacks and stacks of Secret Wars books that I continue to buy and read because I love you, the listeners, and I'm sure we'll get to that shortly. But big publicity for the new Doctor Strange series coming out. So obviously they're making a huge push, and especially with a name like Cumberbatch in there, this could be a really big movie for them.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be good. I don't know if they're planning on it being more than Ant-Man kind of numbers, which are still impressive for a minor character.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think there's going to be a bigger budget for this from the level of effects that are probably going to be needed. So we'll have to see. I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting to see this one develop. They didn't talk about the series at all, but there's still the rumor that he's going to make an appearance as a doctor in Jessica Jones. That rumor's been up for a while.
Very interesting. How they're going to end up connecting the Netflix universe into the greater MCU is going to be very, very interesting for me going forward, because this Netflix universe is so dark. But eventually, I mean, they're going to have to bring them to the forefront with everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've heard rumors that Rachel McAdams is being looked at as a character in it, and I think they've cast Tilda Swinton as the ancient one.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, she's great. I love anything she's in. So it sounds it's definitely shaping up.
It looks good. Everything from the footage looks exactly like it should, but it's concept art, so it's going to look a little more comic booky than what we see on screen. And then they went right into Civil War. They're saying, "Oh, you know the cast couldn't really be here. They're in Germany filming, but we've got what's his name? I can't remember his name right now. Falcon.
Anthony Mackie.
Right. I knew it was Mackie. I couldn't remember his first name. He comes out and he's talking about, yeah, we just flew in last night. Blah blah blah. And it's like, we? Oh, and it's like, oh yeah, and here's Captain America himself. And then Chris Evans comes out, and the women went crazy.
That was cool.
And, man, his Boston accent was strong.
Really?
Yeah, it sounded extra strong. Maybe I was just missing it after a few days in L.A. But it was...
You wanted somebody to call something a wicked pissa?
It was there and pronounced. They talk a little bit about how excited they are, and, you know, nothing really there. And then they show the sizzle reel, which was mostly trailer. It starts off... Widow, Cap, and Falcon are tracking somebody. And they're tracking some sort of van. The Redbird flies out. Use that to track the van. And it, you know, turns out it's part of Crossbones' thing, and there's this whole really good fight scene there. And then Crossbones says something about, you know, you've been looking for him, we've got him, or some of that. And then it cuts... to, I think it's the kind of the end cap from Ant-Man. I might have my events out of order. As I said, I don't have notes from what they took here. Yeah, they made sure the two movie panels you were not allowed to bring cameras in or phones. They gave you a sealable bag, and they made that made noise when you opened it. They said. And they watched you put your phone in, or they checked to make sure you had a phone sealed in there. And then they had people walking around with night vision cam or night vision goggles, making sure,
like we experienced during Daredevil.
Yeah, I think it was a little more intense than Daredevil, actually.
Yeah, tasers.
Because they screened you going in.
Yeah.
So it was definitely they didn't want anything happening like San Diego. And this was the beginning of a long day of stuff with this. So that was shown.
Was Iron Man in the trailer?
Yeah, then they get into the trailer and you see they're discussing, as I said, look more like...
Oh, so what you saw first was kind of like footage, and then they showed a teaser trailer after that?
Yeah, it's... They you know, you got the logo, like the Marvel logo, and then it went into the teaser... Well, it's probably going to be very close to the first teaser footage. Back and forth of, you know, just men talking at each other. Some senators, you know, talking about how there's a problem with, you know, even if they are heroes, they're still vigilantes. They're kind of running unchecked. And it talks about Sokovia. I know there's a leak of what the inciting incident is supposed to be for this, like why Tony suddenly turns. I've kind of been avoiding that. Have either of you guys seen that?
No, I haven't. That's not something I want to know. And I mean, I doubt it's not Speedball blowing up a school. We know that. It can't be that.
Well, right. I sent you guys that fake trailer, and I was all
curious because I thought it was real.
And yeah, me too. It was suspicious because they hadn't had that yet, the film or the Marvel films at D23 yet, and this was released beforehand.
Right. I think I watched it in line, and I'm like, this is definitely not.
It looked cool, though. I mean, it really got me psyched up for it because they did show what looked like Spider-Man in his Iron Spider-Man outfit, but it was all fake, unfortunately. And I'm assuming you guys didn't really get to see anything with Spider-Man.
No, we saw Vision. I think he was wearing a suit at one point. We saw, Widow, Hawkeye. I don't remember seeing anything with Hulk or Thor, which Thor's definitely not in it from my understanding, but Hulk is supposed to be at some point. And then you see the conflict building, it definitely looks like an extension of the farm scene from Avengers, Tony and Steve talking back and forth over each other and not at each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really unclear of exactly what, Tony's trying to accomplish. He obviously thinks he's doing the right thing. And
yeah,
he's got his team together, and you don't see Spider-Man, but you definitely see there's a conflict, and you definitely see Widow and Hawkeye going at it in the line Patrick mentioned earlier, or we still be friends. It looked really good, but it was, very early footage because they weren't done shooting. Two guys got back on a plane, I think, right after the con, or right after the panel, and flew back to Germany to finish shooting.
So I'm assuming we're probably going to see a teaser before The Force Awakens.
I would guess Force Awakens. I mean, we could even get an early teaser, I would say, maybe over Good Dinosaur. Might not be the most appropriate thing, but they might also want to show it, because that's same week or around the same time as Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be out around then. You never know. They definitely have enough footage to put together a real teaser, but very little was done. And you definitely saw Black Panther in shots. And everything looked great. But, there was not enough to really see too much of a story. But it definitely looks like they have adapted it to make more sense in the existing universe than, the Marvel Comics universe where there were thousands of costume characters already running around.
Did Black Panther have a cape?
I did not see that. It was a lot of quick shots, a lot of, very teaser-type shots.
Mm-hmm.
Things where you could tell they aren't sure what's going to make it into a film or not yet.
No, I'm sure he's going to look great, though. I mean, we only saw, we haven't really seen the mask up close, but I have a feeling that it's probably going to look a lot like the concept art, and it's probably going to look pretty kick-ass.
Yeah. And I obviously know there's going to have to be some sort of villain that makes them reunite at the end, because there's no way they could leave that going forward right now.
I think they can leave it apart, and I think it could eventually be Thanos that is what brings them back together.
I mean, they are kind of playing the disassembled route right now with Civil War. Thor is Ragnarok.
Yep.
But we don't have another Iron Man movie. And
no.
Everybody else is... There are no other big Avengers movies until Avengers after this.
Well, this is just my guess. I mean, and I'm not giving any spoilers, really. But I would think that maybe it would be Crossbones. And maybe... And again, this is just a guess. This is not rumor or anything like that. Maybe he kills Captain America at the end. And maybe that could bring them all together.
It looks like they had him in that early scene, it looks like they had him under control. There was another, was it Zemo? Was,
yeah.
As a villain, I mean, so there's going to be somebody else behind the scenes manipulating all this, or manipulating the senator and manipulating Tony.
Could it be Hydra again?
It could. I mean, Hydra's going to keep playing a part. I think it's pretty obvious that they're not going to just drop that. I mean, it was still an Ant-Man.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we'll have to see. I mean, we'll get more information, obviously, when a real teaser comes out, but I don't think we're going to see any real information until, you know, sometime around February or March when a final trailer drops.
Yeah.
Which is good. I don't like the trailers that give you the entire storyline.
Well, on a scale of like 1 to 10, are you optimistic after seeing this teaser trailer?
Yeah, I mean, I've never been the biggest fan of the Civil War storyline. I think it felt flat in a couple places, but this definitely looks like it fits its universe really well. I'd give it a solid 8 or 9. I think it...
Oh, that high, that's good.
Yeah, I'm usually a little generous on optimism things, but I didn't see anything that set up any red flags at all on that one.
And like you said, it's very early, too. They were still filming, so they probably couldn't give too much footage away.
Oh, yeah, I think the actors look jet-lagged tons. I mean, obviously they're very, very handsome men out there, but you can definitely tell, I think, they got off a plane like 30 minutes ago. Let's see what else was at that panel. Disney live action, I don't think there's anything that's really... Favreau was there, talking about Jungle Book. Obviously a few Marvel ties there. Is he the only actor to appear in both pre-MCU and MCU films?
Favreau?
Yeah.
Was he in Hulk?
No, he was in Daredevil.
No, yeah, that's right.
He was Foggy.
Yeah. I just realized that, yeah.
Well, what's his name? The guy that plays General Ross, William Hurt. Well, he's going to be in Civil War.
But that technically is an MCU film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying...
continuity.
Incredible Hulk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you're saying Daredevil, really. Okay, I get you.
Yeah, I mean, Jungle Book looks gorgeous. They showed some of the first... They're like, this footage isn't even finished yet, so here you go. And that, the CG in that was incredible. Keep an eye
out. Just out of curiosity, I mean, did you hear some of the voices for the characters?
Oh, yeah, they showed what probably is going to be the first trailer again. Ben Kingsley was out there. He plays Bagheera. I forgot who played... They had most of the voices out there. The kid looks a very cute little charismatic actor.
Well, Bill Murray's in it.
Yeah, you hear Bill Murray, Baloo, singing Bare Necessities. At least parts of it. It definitely looks like they've got the feel of the movie right, and it looks incredible. And I'm going to say the same thing for what little we saw of Beauty and the Beast, because that was just beginning to shoot. They didn't have any actors there. They had a couple video messages from Emma Watson and Josh Gad and whoever's playing Gaston. They sang a few bars of the Gaston song. I mean, that looks dead on. She looks so much like Belle.
It's nice
and funny.
I mean, did you see her in costume?
Yeah, yeah. There were enough screen. There was no footage. That was just a few shots. I'm trying to think of what else they showed in the Disney section. That new, what's the new Coast Guard movie coming out with Chris Pine? Chris Pine was there. That they had a bit about that, because that's coming out very shortly. I think that might have been it for the Disney.
So nothing that really enters into the nerdy realm.
No. I mean, you had Captain Kirk on stage, but...
True.
And Hermione was on a video.
What about... I guess let's get right into Star Wars, then.
Yeah, they went right into it. I'm horrible with the actors' names. They brought out Abrams, obviously, and Finn and Rey. I forget their names.
Daisy Ridley and John Boyega.
Yeah, they're out there talking. And then, you know, of course, Harrison Ford comes out, and I'm 10 feet away in the audience and starting to cry. That was really awesome. And they obviously didn't show anything. Abrams was telling the truth that there was nothing to show. They did show the screenshots of this has come out, the first cast photo from
Rogue One.
That's really all we saw.
Now, I mean, how long was that then? Was that like supposed to be an hour or?
The whole panel was an hour and a half, maybe two. And
they really didn't show anything.
They really showed nothing of Star Wars. Oh, Pirates 5. Depp came out in full costume, which was really, really cool. Starts throwing grapes at the audience. And he's like, I don't like grapes. He just threw the rest of them out, too. But a very, you know, never broke character, just out there being Sparrow. But yeah, there was not much to the Star Wars. You know, everyone's all excited how great it is to be together and doing this and how much they're looking forward to it. And then Iger comes up and he's like, I'm going to send everybody else backstage because I've got some other Star Wars announcements. And I think what happened here is they intended to show a new trailer and Abrams didn't have it ready yet because of that, you know, that info that came out a week, you know, a few days beforehand that there would be nothing at D23 for it. And so they just dropped the Star Wars Land news at the end of the movie panel.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the big shock. I mean, when Iger came out and sent everybody backstage, I think I kind of realized what was going on there. But, yeah, they came out. Oh, yeah, the other thing is they're changing. It's not Star Wars Anthologies anymore. It's Star Wars Stories.
Yeah. I saw that. It doesn't matter what it's called,
really.
It doesn't
matter.
It doesn't, because it's going to, like, they'll print money. Just,
yeah. And they didn't give us any further info than what we already had on any of those. The Han Solo one, I think they didn't, I don't think they gave any kind of title. I mean, there was some other rumors that they were casting someone like 19. Was like they're looking for Han, so they're going to go really young with that. But that was just kind of about the same time. That wasn't actually at the convention. So Star Wars Land.
I was going to say before we get to Star Wars Land, you want to talk about? Now this wasn't really D23.
What are
you
doing to me, Joe?
I'm sorry. We have to make this announcement, but they announced that the director for Episode 9 is going to be Jurassic World director Colin Trevorrow, and you said that wasn't a part of D23 that just came out, or
recently,
I think it actually just broke on Variety like earlier that day or the day before. They just didn't really talk about it. I think they did make it official there, but the news was already out.
Well, I guess my question is, what do you think about that though?
I enjoyed the movie. I can't see anything wrong with it so far. I'm actually really excited for Rian Johnson.
Yeah, me too. I agree with you there.
If you haven't seen Brick, watch it. I think it's still on Netflix. It's a fantastically done noir-esque mystery. Looper was a decent movie. I think it was trying to do too much in one movie was the problem. But overall, I thought it was a good movie. I think he's going to be a good director and writer for this, especially if he's working with Kasdan and all that. So that wasn't even mentioned either.
I think with Trevorrow, you have somebody who's shown he can pay homage to a franchise and make a giant blockbuster, and I don't think he's going to really need to work too hard to get like fantastic performances out of his actors, because this is a group of people who are in their mind is putting an end cap on Star Wars, you know?
Right, and yeah, I mean, as I said, they made it official there. I do remember that they did announce that. But given everything else that was going on, making something official that was a rumor didn't seem that big of a deal at the time. I'm trying to think. Yeah, he'll do fine. These characters, these actors are going to know their characters before they get to him. They'll have worked with two other directors and three scripts, you know, in their hands before they even meet the guy.
Really. Yeah. I mean, I'm just worried that they may have jumped the gun because Jurassic World is like the third highest grossing movie ever now. And maybe Disney was looking at that and with the success of Jurassic World. But he's got, his resume is not that great. I mean, it's like maybe six or seven movies I'd never heard of before.
Well, I mean, I think that, I mean, look, they made an odd choice with Rian Johnson too, but I think it's a good one. I mean, he doesn't have any real blockbusters under his belt either. I mean, Looper was a decent, if I remember.
But he definitely, I would say he's a good director, though.
Yeah, and I think, and I definitely think Trevorrow was a good storyteller from Jurassic World. He got everything he wanted. He, you know, dodged around some of the weird questions that you were going to have at the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, it's like, None of what's here existed in nature. That's how they got over way around, you know, these aren't what we think dinosaurs looked like anymore.
Yeah.
So everything, he's done a very good job of playing around with what a franchise is supposed to be. I think he'll be good with that. And
yeah, and I'm sure they'll be tight with the writers and Lucasfilm, and Kennedy will definitely be on set a lot, and Sol Abrams, I'm sure, because there's rumors that he might be producing, you know, the next two movies, too.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So, back to... Let's...
All right, now, yeah, give us the big announcement.
So, they announced Star Wars Land, two 14-acre lands coming to Disneyland Park and Disney Hollywood Studios Adventure Player to be named later, whatever they're going to call it by the end of this. They showed us a little teaser of what looks like a cargo bay door opening, you know, some ships flying by, and then a kind of Naboo-esque mountain. It looks like Naboo meets Rivendell.
Was this concept art or was it actual footage?
No, this is concept art and like CG work of what's going to be there.
Okay.
14 acres... planet we've never seen before. Everything's going to be very in-world there. You know, little shops, little things that all look like they're run by characters in the universe. There'll be a cantina, not necessarily the Mos Eisley cantina, because this is a different planet. I think this planet is going to be something we see later. I'm sure they're going to tie it into one of the other movies. They just said it's not been seen before yet. There'll be two signature attractions. They didn't mention Star Tours at this time. Which one will be an interactive Millennium Falcon flight attraction. So, I mean, that's about as much detail as we really got. It looks like, you know, you'll be in smaller simulators in a cockpit. Maybe you'll have control. Who really knows? But, you know, it's going to be whatever it is. It's going to be dead on, you know, as far as set design goes. The other attraction I really have no idea is it's putting you in the middle of a battle with the First Order. They showed some concept art of some stormtroopers running down a hallway. I'm wondering if this is another Men in Black, Toy Story Mania type ride. But they really didn't give any details on what that's going to be. They didn't give a date when these things are out.
No, yeah. So Disney fans will have to stop complaining about all the screens, huh?
Honestly, yeah, and I think there's going to be more to it, and I think, you know, nobody complained about too many screens for Forbidden Journey because there were a lot of practical elements at that point, and I think we're going to see at least a lot of Q practical elements and things like that. So it's not going to be, yeah, there's going to be some simulators, but I think the immersiveness of the world from the concept art looks like, you know, there's going to be enough practical to keep everybody happy.
Well, I guess we don't know for sure, though. I mean, more than likely, it does seem likely that there's going to be screens, like you said, but you never know. I mean, I'm kind of hoping that... And I know they announced that there's going to be two rides, and they could announce more, I guess, right?
I mean, we're not getting, like, they're not doing something cheesy and putting in an X-Wing spinner.
Honestly, I don't care if that's cheesy. I'm okay with that. That's an okay thing. What a great way to get your children introduced to Star Wars by putting them on an X-Wing spinner.
Yeah, I just don't think it fits with an immersive land at all.
I would say, I mean, and I've heard rumors of this for a while. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
He said it doesn't fit in an immersive land, and I can totally agree with that.
Yeah, I can agree with that, too. I mean, if it's going to, because what it sounds like, it's almost like you land on this planet, and it's like an outpost for where,
they said it's Outer Rim.
Yeah, so basically it's where a lot of these ships are going to land and take off. I mean, I'm really optimistic about it, especially what I've heard what they're doing with Avatar Land over in Animal Kingdom. And we know how Disney Imagineers work. I think we're going to see something really great. And we're all just kind of guessing ourselves as to what it could be. But, I'm really optimistic, and I really hope it's not going to take that long to build.
Yeah. I'm predicting, early, just right before the 50th anniversary for World. From what we heard from Lion later on in the week, Big Thunder Ranch is closing in January, so construction's going to probably start, at least bulldozing at that point. So that's going to go in the northwest corner of Disneyland. I think that's been confirmed by the Disneyland Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be,
yes,
.
That has been confirmed.
That will be, just north of Frontierland, west of Toontown and wrapping around it. So no, they're not losing Toontown. What's back there is about 14 acres of backstage buildings, which is exactly what they just bought across the street. So they're probably just going to move all the facilities across the street and take that area over for the land. Studios, we still don't have. I've seen five or six different people outlining where it's going to go.
I was one of those people.
It's all speculation at this point, because right after this panel was the parks panel, and they led with Star Wars. And it was a bunch of rehash of what we just heard about Star Wars Land. Then they said, that's going to take a little bit, but we've got some stuff to hold you over into the meantime. Coming in December, we are getting a 7th destination for Star Tours, tied into the new movie. They didn't say it was Jakku, but it might as well be at this point, for all we know.
And they didn't mention, are people guaranteed to see that?
No.
Or is it going to be random?
I think it's going to be random, so it's going to probably up those lines a bit, which is what they want. Oh, Eastern World. And then the other thing they're doing is, Star Wars Launch Bay. We'd seen concept art for this before. WDWNT posted it a couple weeks ago, actually. They didn't say where it's going. I think it's almost guaranteed to be Inventions in Disneyland. And right now it's looking as the old Art of Animation area for Disney World. But that's going to be some meet and greets, some exhibits, some shopping. It's just going to be a little hold-you-over type place. And then there's also expanding Star Wars Weekends to both coasts and calling it Seasons of the Force. Now, I was a little confused as what they're doing. Like, are there going to be celebrities all the time? What's going on with, all the events for Star Wars Weekends? They just said new fireworks show for the studios. Space Mountain will get a Hyper Space Mountain overlay.
And that's only for Disneyland, correct?
It's only for Disneyland, as far as I
remember. That sucks. I would love an overlay of Space Mountain, but I get it. We always have to worry about the once-in-a-lifetime travelers.
Why don't they have Star Wars Weekends over in Disneyland?
Because Tomorrowland is already a mess over there.
Yeah.
It's tight, it's crowded.
And they couldn't do it in California Adventure?
I think they could have tied it to both, and I think, we might have the meet and greet. Well, they'll have Inventions ready for that. The EO Theater there is probably going to be left empty, what it is now. Although I'm guessing we're probably going to get some Force Awakens. Because some of the concept art that some people showed, both the Premier Theater and the EO Theater are look like they're going to be converted to, you know, those preview centers again. Hopefully soon. Hopefully before my trip in a couple weeks. But I doubt that. I'm not going to the studios anyway. There's no point in going to the studios right now, let's be honest. And that was kind of it for the Star Wars stuff. It looks interesting with, you know, expanding, but I think we need a little more info on Seasons of the Force. They didn't say how long it's going to run from what I can remember. They didn't, you know, say if it was going to be celebrities every day.
Mm-hmm. And it's did they say if it was going to be weekends or it was going to be for the week?
They said they were expanding it, so I think it sounds like it's going to be more like a food and wine kind of event.
Oh, that's great.
But, you know, it's the thing really focused around the celebrities. So who knows how they're going to be able to do that. It's, you know, food and wine does, you know, has the seminars and stuff like that, but it doesn't focus around them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's also not the same type of fanboying, like, for me to see Mario Batali versus for me to see, I know, extreme example, Harrison Ford. More likely Peter Mayhew. Even still, the difference is huge.
Right. I just don't know how they'll be able to do L.A. It'll probably be easy to get somebody every
much
day.
Much easier, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, are they just going to pretty much move Warwick Davis into Golden Oaks for 6 weeks at a time? Who knows?
I was thinking, well, I've heard rumors, and I'm sure you guys have heard this too, that they're going to kind of change up the Jedi Academy where it'll move indoors.
Right. They didn't mention any of the existing attractions, and I think they're going to have to move those. I mean, what are the big question is, what are they going to do with Star Tours? Is not going to be able to be part of the land no matter what they do in California, unless they completely rebuild it.
How hard would it be to move Star Tours?
I don't know. I mean, they have extra simulators sitting around in Epcot.
Yeah.
They could literally just haul those across country, rebuild that, and maybe convert Star Tours into something else we saw at Expo, which kind of looks not that great, but could still be okay. The Iron Man experience that's going into Disneyland Hong Kong looked a little somewhere between the movie realism and the cartoons. Basically, oh, you're in Tomorrowland, and Stark Expo has an exhibit in Tomorrowland where they fly you to the new Stark Tower in Hong Kong, where you get attacked by Hydra along the way, who's trying to steal arc reactor technology, and you're basically in an Iron Man transport suit, so you're helping Iron Man fight them off. A little bit of footage looked okay, looked about a little more cartoony than I'll say like Transformers does, and I think that's just the art style they were going for.
But is this like more concept right now?
I don't know.
It could change, like,
yeah,
to be
it
more
could
realistic.
Still be, it could still be, you know, not fully rendered at this point. But it just looks like it's using the same simulator technology, which is fine. I always like that more than like the what they're using for The Simpsons now. But
I was going to say, you know, I am very confident about Star Wars Land, especially. It's probably going to be mostly identical on. I mean, did they say, I know it was 14 acres in Hollywood Studios.
14 acres in both lands.
Okay, so it's probably going to be identical.
Yeah, the layout might be a little different just from how they got to place it, but it looks like it's going to be very similar, same planet. It would be cool if they did, you know, two different planets, but I think it's easier and faster to just...
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's the line from Contact? Why build one when you could build two for twice the price?
That's right. Yeah, and again, I'm very confident that it's going to look awesome when it's finally completed. And that's another thing, too. I mean, after we experienced the whole opening of New Fantasyland, I want the whole thing opened all at once. I don't want it piece by piece. And I hope that they realize that and, you know, again, we don't get piecework.
No.
I mean, I could wait.
With the studios, it's going to be piecemeal, but I think we're going to get the Toy Story Playland first.
Well, that's fine. If they do, like, you know, the Pixar Land, if that opens first, That's great, but I want to, when I first time I walk into Star Wars Land, I want to feel like I'm in a new planet, and that these are all new rides, and you know, not like Millennium Falcon Simulator coming in 2022.
Right, and I think, you know, especially with World, I think they could have it so that Star Tours is both in and out of the land. Like, you can enter, like, the exit might be in the land, but you enter from outside. So, like, you could pretend you took the shuttle there.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. And, you know, I was going to ask you guys, what would you like to see there? I know you kind of discussed what... It sounds pretty concrete, the Millennium Falcon Simulator, and then there's something where we're like we're in the middle of a battle. But I'm sure there's still more. I know they're going to add a lot of merchandise stops and all that, but what else would you like to see there?
Streetmosphere. Lots of streetmosphere. I want First Order troopers kind of hassling the locals. I want to see people dressed in, you know, weird attire wandering around. I just want to see it feel lived in. And the shops are obviously going to have the normal plastic junk like we see everywhere. I mean, it's not going to be quite Diagon Alley as far as that, because they do a pretty good job of theming that merchandise. But there's more. But there's not, like, you could walk into Toys R Us and buy a lot of Potter stuff. You could walk into Toys R Us and buy a lot of Star Wars stuff. So we're going to see a little bit of a difference with that, and I think I'm okay with that as long as the place looks right.
I'd like to see like almost like Jim Henson puppets like that we're going to see in the new movie. That also working like something advanced like that we can see walking down the Star Wars Land and the planet.
You bring up something very important, Joe. I'd like to see Muppet Vision still.
Oh, to stay, to remain?
Yeah, that's a big thing to me. But I got a couple wants for the land. I would like more than two attractions. I get what you're saying, how like a spinner's not immersive. But I would like a couple more things. I think Hollywood Studios desperately needs more attractions. I also would like to see Snig and Oopla. I feel that they have a place. I feel that there's a place for some sort of hyperspace hoopla. Oh, you know, it would be amazing, a theater show like Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. I think that would be incredible.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun.
I mean, I think we're going to see something with, when they said there's going to be a cantina, I think we're going to have some sort of live entertainment in there. I don't know if it's going to be friggin' Dan in the modal nodes all the time.
You know what I want to see? I want to see a parade.
Oh, dude, wow. I didn't even think of that. Just in that land, like, it doesn't go anywhere else. It just goes through that land? Or do you want to see it through all Hollywood Studios?
No, just through that land.
That's cool. That's a cool idea.
I just don't think it fits the immersion somehow. You could have processions of, like, oh, the First Order's landed.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see, like, a traditional Disney parade.
No, I agree with what you're saying, but I also think, like, a parade would be a really sweet idea.
One thing I don't want to see, and this has been a thing on Twitter for a few weeks, is the food. Please don't just have Darth Maul pie. Do something like roast bantha loin. Like, just do something, at least pretend it's in universe and not a tribute. I think what the Rebel Hangar worked at Star Wars Weekends, because that's, you know, a celebration of the genre and the movies. That doesn't work in immersion.
Well, from the little that we heard, though, it does sound like they're trying to make it immersive. And, like, when we do go in the cantina, we'll probably be greeted by aliens and not humans.
How are we going to deal with this, man? This is something I've been thinking about. How are we going to deal with... We're going to have to be able to identify who the cast member is, right?
They'll either be very obviously in costume or have a name tag.
Right, and are we going to see the name tags like we see with Star Wars Weekend and For Sale at Tatooine Traders, where they're in different languages? Are they all going to go to the level where, like, they have some sort of quote-unquote translator box? I'm very interested to see. This is, I think...
Oh, that would be great.
This might be the biggest thing in the history of WWNT. You know, going through our eighth year, turning the corner towards our ninth year, this whole thing was you know, started for Cars Land and all the changes. I mean, DLNT. But this might be the biggest thing in the history of WWNT. And watching this unfold, man, this is going to be insane.
Yeah, what I would like to see, too, is I want us to be the aliens. As we're walking into this new planet. And, you know, no one's going to bend over backwards for us. I mean, they're going to go according to their normal lives, like what they normally do. Like, this is going to be a world in which we see aliens and droids just walking down the street. And like Ron had said, streetmosphere. You know, there could be stormtroopers harassing people, but there can also be aliens coming up and... you know, just
Jawas not, everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, just like
Jawa
something like
trading.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Well, that's one cool thing at Star Wars Weekends that I've never. I only really heard about this last year that I know has been going on for a while. Is like you bring some sort of junk to give a Jawa character. They're supposed to give you like a small pin or a pen or something back.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to see is but they said they're going to focus mostly on the new movies, right?
I think they basically said it's going to be in that world, but yeah, they mentioned specifically the First Order.
So do you think that they could do like a dark ride where we can kind of see the history of Star Wars? Or I guess they could do it, but it would go against what they were saying.
No, you know what? That'd be really interesting, like the history of the Rebellion and showing how the Rebellion squashed and showing, you know, like burned up remains of Death Star and all the innocent lives lost by the Rebellion. Joe, I like where your head's at right now, man.
Thanks. I mean, yeah, I mean, couldn't you have like R2-D2 and C-3PO basically narrate the whole story?
You could definitely do that. I see that as a pre-show for one of them, is like, here's a recruitment video.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I kind of wish I could freeze myself right now and just have myself open when it's opening day. The one thing I was going to ask you, were you surprised that they didn't announce Marvelland in Disneyland?
Not really. I mean, part of it was because they said, you know, that whole $1.5 billion expansion. Star Wars is going to take a big chunk of that right now.
Yeah.
And then they also said most of that wasn't going to be ready till December. So I think they're going to focus on Marvel overseas. I think they've got enough in California at the moment. I think it's going to come. But just not sure when.
Any last words on Star Wars? Or do you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
I mean, there was the next morning was the Disney Interactive panel. You know, they obviously focused on Infinity and Battlefront a lot. Battlefront looks great. I don't think they went into a huge amount more than what we already knew. I think they announced that there's going to be a PlayStation bundle for it, which
yeah,
was gorgeous. That Vader PlayStation. Patrick, if you're still looking for one, maybe you should get the. It's also being packaged with Infinity 3.0.
Maybe we'll talk to the wife.
Oh, wait, so it's going to be packaged with either Infinity or Battlefront?
Or Battlefront. You could get with either of them.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool.
And the Battlefront one comes with the Battlefront Special Edition. I don't believe you get the Saga version with that. So, yeah, they focused on that. The Battle Pod presentation was there, but there was nothing but reiteration. They talked, obviously, about Kingdom Hearts, which got a lot of people excited. I guess it is kind of Marvel that they did announce that there is going to be a Big Hero 6 world in Kingdom Hearts 3. And the plot for that is the Heartless, who are the villains of the game, have found the abandoned Baymax in the wormhole and have taken him over.
Oh, wow.
And the concept art was Baymax fighting a black Baymax.
What I was going to say, that would have made a terrific sequel to that movie. I mean, not necessarily Heartless, but just finding Baymax's, I guess his remains in that transporter zone that he was in.
Yeah, and it could also combine with the nanobots somehow, too.
Yeah. That does look good. That actually makes me interested in the game, just hearing that.
So that was announced, and then Infinity 3, they showed us a little bit of the Rise of the Empire footage, or the whatever the Rise of the Rebellion footage, whatever they're calling the second place. And it really looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of modes where you're flying, you're on the ground. Everything looked really, really cool for the playset modes. And then they revealed the new figures.
The light-up ones.
The light-up ones, which are only a dollar more, supposedly. So I would recommend, if you're planning on getting any of the Jedi figures, check which ones are going to be light-up, because it doesn't look like it's all of them. I did not see Ahsoka, Ezra, or Maul in the picture. But the light-up lightsabers are really cool. They're only going to be a buck more, which is a great thing.
And, yeah, that sounds good.
They showed off the first Finn and Rey figures, and Boyega, and I'm forgetting her name again.
Did you see, I saw footage that they have, looks like they're going to have like a Mario Kart sort of game in there.
And that was a competition they were having. I didn't get a chance that they were having some sort of competition at a bunch of cons where they were pitting all the everybody could race it once and enter, and the best times win a prize. And it was a bigger prize than just a set of the game. Which comes out this Sunday, and I will be store hopping to collect all these stupid... There are 6 exclusive store figures, or at least timed exclusive. Amazon, Toys R Us, Target, Best Buy, Walmart, and GameStop each have a figure that is exclusive to them for launch. And you couldn't pre-order all of them. I mean, you could from the websites, but then you got to pay shipping. So I'll be running around collecting all those. Most of them seem to be all the Rebels figures were included in that. I think I have Ezra and Zeb already pre-ordered. So I might not even get Kanan now because he's going to be one of the light-up ones. I might just wait.
Oh, so the light-up ones are coming out later?
Yeah. Looks like maybe November is what I heard. They did announce that if you played Infinity 2.0 and you did not get Black Spider-Man because it was an exclusive to the Vita edition that was exclusive to GameStop, they are going to be making that figure as part of 3.0. Trying to think of anything else. Yeah, so Boyega and Daisy... What's her name? Daisy Ridley came out to see their... It was the unveil of their figures for the game. And they saw them, they're like, oh, you know, we're going to present these to you two. And they're like, oh, no. We're going to give these out to some fans. And they gave them out to a couple kids and the fan got the prototypes. I mean, obviously not the prototypes, but the first versions of it. Oh, I forgot. One of the things that the, when they were talking about the Iron Man ride, they had a competition like, well, we're going to have a special, an audience member is going to win a trip to the opening in Hong Kong, and they, you know, call it this section, and boom, it's Stan Lee.
Yeah.
And they're pretending they don't recognize him. It's like, and what's your name, sir? I'm Stan Lee. Oh, hi, Stan Lee. What do you do? I'm the world's greatest cameo artist, is how he introduced himself. And, you know, they just play off of him not knowing who he is and all that. And then they try and introduce Iron Man, who didn't come out a couple times. And then finally came out, and the vocals were off. Like, it was pre-recorded dialogue. He's supposed to banter with Stan. And it fell so flat because I think they missed a line, or it wasn't timed right, or Stan's 95 and senile. But they definitely had some problems else other times with the teleprompter. So that could have been it as well. But that just was a bit that did not work and was just really funnily awkward.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that. That would have been cool to see though live.
Oh yeah, I mean the celebrities there were incredible. I mentioned Ridley and Boyega and Ford and Depp, Lucas, Danny Elfman, The Rock came out for Moana, who is probably the most charismatic person I've ever seen on stage in my life. He was amazing out there. And then they had a musical number from there with some supposedly famous Polynesian bands, which I don't think anybody in this country would know too much about, unless you're in Hawaii. But the music was very good for that. Ben Kingsley, Ellen, and the cast of Finding Nemo was there, or Finding Dory. They had Ed O'Neill, Tay, whoever plays a son-in-law in Modern Family. He was there.
Yeah.
The woman from Always Sunny in Philadelphia was there, because she's got a part in the movie. They had a bunch of the Broadway people come out to sing at different times. They had, as I said, Chris Pine, Ben Kingsley. I'm repeating myself. The woman, she's a voice of an alien in Force Awakens. She was, she's in like three other Disney movies, so they brought her for a bunch of things.
You mean Laputa Nyong'o?
Yeah, she was out for a bunch of things because she's in Jungle Book. She's in some other Disney movie they're showing about some East African chess star. Randy Newman played his bit. Robert Sherman came out and played a few notes at some point. It was really, I saw, he was only in the audience, but I saw Dick Van Dyke do a little jig as he got into his seat. Oh, there was another awkward moment during the Star Wars panel presentation where they're like, and they're talking about like the man who created it all, and you see this guy with gray hair kind of ducking and running up to the stage. You think it's Lucas coming up, and everyone starts applauding. Turns out it was just some guy trying to get to a seat in the front. Either that, or he wasn't allowed on stage anywhere near any of the... I mean, there might be a restraining order to keep Lucas away from any of the upcoming actors. But everything, yeah, there was a lot of great Star Wars and Marvel stuff. Avatar Land looks like it's gorgeous, and they are ignoring the plot of the movie. This takes place much later when humans are welcomed back, so we can kind of get around that whole thing.
Well, I think it would be disturbing if they were trying to kill us.
Right, so it's much later. They showed the Shang...
I mean, so like, the aliens are... going to be like 10 to 12 feet tall, I'm assuming. Right?
The only thing we really saw about the aliens themselves was there was a bust of is it Nadiri?
Yeah, I forget.
The Na'vi, the
I know you're talking about
Zoe Saldana's character. And basically you saw the model, and so all the like ride show buildings are going to be built into these amazing looking cliff rock work. So they're going to be hidden. It really looks like that's going to be a really nice immersive sci-fi land. And I can't wait to see that in about 18 months or so.
Yeah. My friend was in Animal Kingdom recently, and he said that it looks like they're kind of building that area, like when they were climbing on those rocks that were floating.
Yeah, they showed the model, and there's two giant ones floating in the middle of the land.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the film, but I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And I guess that'll kind of, whet our appetites until Star Wars land.
And then they had a couple of costume pieces out from all the Marvel movies. They had the Ant-Man suit and the Hulkbuster hand, BB-8. Captain Phasma and Rey and Finn's costumes were all out on display.
So aside from the swag, did you get any good merch?
I did not buy too much. A lot of the exclusive stuff I saw was already gone. I didn't buy anything really Star Wars-y. Laurel got the First Order t-shirt. We got that Ewok. Then we got the D23 figure. I found the Wonderland Gallery had some really nice Star Wars art. I picked up some really nice. I only got the. We don't have too much room for too many more big pieces, so I got the postcard size ones. Of it's an outline of like one is like the outline of the Falcon, and then you see, like inside of it is a nice painting of Han and Chewie. One is a painting of Vader, and inside like the folds of the cape, you see Luke. And then there's one of Leia, and then you see the droids inside. They're three really nice pieces. I would have liked much larger, but I had to get those. Yeah, I did not. I got a bunch of Disneyland 60th merchandise, a couple T-shirts, but I really didn't go overboard on merch this trip.
Well, definitely. Now, when you were there, I guess like some of the staff from WDWNT was there too, and they've been there numerous times at D23. Did anyone say that they feel like this was the best one? Or
I think everybody thought it was definitely at least the best since the for announcements, at least since the first one. Everybody seemed to have a good time. I rarely ran into them. Like I had my family there, mm-hmm. So I was kind of hanging out with them. But I did see, you know, I saw Jose and Adam and Tom occasionally. Tom was also there because, I mean, Theme Park Connection was there, so Tom was with those guys a little bit. But everybody seemed to be having a good time. There was a lot of really cool other exhibits on the floor. Like, they had the Avatar preview, you know, a Disneyland retrospective history. There were some other great smaller panels I didn't get to. Like, my wife saw a Goofy Movie 20th Anniversary show where they had a bunch of this cast, and then it ended with a Powerline concert.
That was awesome.
Yeah, there was a...
They let video of that out.
Yeah, the only panels you could not bring cameras into were the two movie panels.
That makes sense.
She saw the Mickey Mouse Club reunion. She saw the Broadway show. Nobody in my family went to see Frozen, and then we're like, oh, Kristen Bell was there. Maybe we should have gone. That's the only main room panel I didn't see was the Frozen, because I had so many exhibits left to... There were a lot of lines. Lot of lines for everything. And there was a lot of pop-up things that I missed. At one point, they were giving away the Wally Lego set, and it was being signed by the guy who created it. But that was only for like a half hour, and you had to get there at a time. Pop-up signings from a lot of people. And there were people there charging for signings, too, obviously. Like, Dick Van Dyke was charging for autographs. Corey Feldman was there for some reason, charging for autographs. Because I don't think he has anything else to do but go to...
No, he did a voice. He did a voice in a Disney cartoon.
Oh, wasn't he one of the Fox and the Hound sequels?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, no, I think he was the original one. No, that was Mickey Rooney and yeah, you're right.
Then there was Leslie Ann Warren. I wanted to like buy a copy of Clue on DVD and have her sign that, because she's a Disney legend. But like, I forget who's the current voice of Mickey Mouse. He just did a pop up signing. It's like, anything you bought here that has Mickey on it, I'll sign. I went to get my Disney Infinity Mickey figure signed. But the line was really long, and it was near the end of the day, and I had about 3 hours of sleep over the weekend, so I said, forget it. The line to get into, like, the Mickey's of Glendale, which is the Imagineering store, was, like, 2 hours. The store at one point was a six-hour wait for the Disney store. The Dream Store I always walked in at the end of the day. That's why a lot of the good merchandise seemed to be gone. There was a lot of beautiful, beautiful Star Wars art I wish I could have had room to put up there, too. Marvel did not have as huge of a presence, obviously. I think they focus a lot of that more on Comic-Con than the movies.
Yeah, you know, I was really shocked with they held so much away from Comic-Con, but they didn't really deliver anything with D23, and I thought that you got to do one or the other, deliver somewhere. I know you got the movie stuff, but I don't know, I feel like to make it feel more like the Disney family, they could have had more of a presence at D23.
Well, there was the Kingdoms panel, which I couldn't go to because it was overlapping with the Disney Infinity stuff, interactive stuff. So I missed that, and I know Jim Zub was there talking about that, and I don't know if they talked about what's going on beyond that, because I hope they keep the line running. They've all been you know, good so far. Have you read all of them, Patrick? Or
no, I'm not caught up yet.
Thunder was really an interesting thing, and it was kind of cool, like, going on Thunder and Land after seeing that.
Yeah, I'm still behind a little bit.
Keepers was the weakest, I think, but of the three. Thunder just had a very coherent, because it's a, you know, still kind of a Western with a little bit of a mystical element to it. But although I would go to the con again, I don't know if I'm going to go next time. I don't think there's any big announcements or anything coming up.
Yeah.
So I think I'll probably skip next one. I might do a Destination D just to see that. But yeah, I would do the con again, just not right away. Right now I'm still jet lagged from getting back. I took a red eye, not last night, the night before. So.
Yeah, well, it definitely sounds like you picked a good one to go to. All right, so I guess we'll wrap this up. And with that, this will be the end of episode number 10 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. And guys, can you tell our listeners where they can find us?
I'm still occasionally trying to tweet from Nerd Alert Pod. I was going back and forth between that and my my own account at Gracie's Butler on Twitter.
I am at Hack LaSalle, and you can get us at nerdalertpod@gmail.com.
And that's it, guys. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Stay nerdy.
Later.